Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers. This is our time together where we can meet, touch one another with our ideas, our hopes, our dreams. I had a question that was sent to me, and I thought it was very fascinating. And the question was, what is ascension? And I suppose that anybody that you talk to about this has their own interpretation of what to expect, what's out there, where are we going? I know I've heard quite a few different thoughts, some similarities among people, but different aspects. Some people feel that you really need to work with something on your own soul. Others feel that there's nothing to do, just to be. To be in the now. And so what I did was I went to several of the masters for their perspective. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, because there was information from Lord Metatron, from his perspective, information from through the eyes of Mother Mary, and ascension according to Archangel Michael. So, let's settle in. I know that you're going to want to really hear this. What are their points of view? Well, Lord Metatron, as he tells us on the conference calls, holds the keys of consciousness between God and the human race. And so, considering his point of view, he is looking from a much broader perspective. I'm not going to tell you everything that he has said because there isn't enough time for that. Some of the things that he says here, most people are probably going to agree with. That is, to ascend means the vibrations of the soul and the physical body that contain the soul increase until both are able to reach a higher plane of existence. So he's saying most people could identify with that, and they probably would agree with him. But what are the circumstances that surround the event? He's saying that's what confuses people. Where does one go, and how does one get there? And he mentions that even masters and souls on higher levels seem to have some differences of opinion, depending on the work that they are involved with. So what he is saying is it depends on the eyes, the perspective, where they're searching from, that point of view. And he talks about his point of view is broader. So he is more aware of the many different layers of existence between what's in the center of the cosmos and what humanity is experiencing presently. And so he tells us that in his point of view, what we consider ascension is really just the start of a very long journey that takes us back to source. Now, for those of you who have heard me talk about this, the source that we are referring to is all there is, prime creator that resides in the center of the cosmos. And so Lord Metatron is considering ascension from the point of view of the journey where we are now to the different layers that we will be moving through to reconnect with source. And he talks about something that is really exciting, I suspect, that all our memories will be intact, but the physical will change very dramatically by the time the soul encounters source. And I have to say, I found that rather fascinating, because what he is saying, and he does give an explanation of this, he says, yes, I am saying that the physical form will make its way back to the ultimate creator but it would be very different from your physical body. It will not be as dense. The electrons of the physical will be of a different formation. There'll be large spaces between the electrons, but one will be able to decipher the electrical charge of the form. So what he's saying basically is the physical body will be more electrical rather than a hard substance. So we're going to journey through this path, and we will take the physical back with us from the very place where we started, where Prime Creator created our soul. And the reason that Lord Metatron gives for this, that we will have an electronic image of the physical body, is that the Maker of all wants to see us empowered by all the experiences that we've ever developed. They won't be taken from us. And so we will reconnect with Source at the end of the journey with all of our memories intact. Then he talks about the first several changes in the dimensions as we begin this path from where we are now. And he says, the physical body, at least from the external point of view, will not go through many changes. But internally, there will be many changes. So, internally, all the cells must be changed from an organic structure to a crystalline structure. And we've had a lot of people talk about that, and I think that seems to be a truth that is held by many. And he says another way of saying this is that the cells hold light in a manner that hasn't been experienced since Atlantis. So if you can think about the words that he is saying, in Atlantis, the cells were crystalline. After the fall, they moved to the organic structure, and then as we move forward again, we are moving up to that pathway so that the physical body is going to go back to the early days of Atlantis when we had a great deal of glory that we brought to the planet. And so he talks about the electrical wiring in the physical body. That must change also, so that the organs and the brain will accept more of the light that exists in the higher vibrational pools. And so what he's saying is even light changes in the higher dimensions, because light has the ability to be contracted or compacted in our dimension also. We are down here in the densest, and even light becomes compacted. So there are some other changes in the physical body. The connections in the brain must be completed. And he explains how in Atlantis the brain was divided because humanity chose to work on a lower objective rather than being aligned to God. And I think there are stories of that, how some of the deviant priests in Atlantis started going their own way, allowed the ego to creep in. So they took, shall we say, credit for what they were creating. They weren't accepting the fact that the tools that they were using was really creations from Source. And they became very concerned with the ego, and they were taking a path away from God. And Lord Metatron mentions this about why the brain was divided. And he says, memory. In other words, our memories of the past, our past history, where we have been, bring forth great spiritual abilities. And because the souls in Atlantis were not willing to be aligned with God, they could have used those abilities in a manner that would harm other souls, other humans, in their soul construction. And so the brain was divided. That was a great loss, my friends, but it had to be. And now that we are moving back towards God again, our memories are going to be, shall we say, we're going to be connected with our memories again. And part of how that is going to happen is that there will be a greater connection between the two hemispheres of the brain. We're starting to see that now, that threads are being, well, we can't see this, but we are told that threads are being placed from the right and the left hemisphere as they move over the third eye. And it is so we can become more aligned to the spiritual messages, the spiritual information that is coming through. This, to one of my points of view, is a very great gift for humanity. Think on this, that we are going to be able to receive spiritual information directly from spirit. We can be our own master, so to speak. We don't have to search for others to find the truth, that we will have that gateway, our own individual gateway. And so it was a protection for humanity to have the brain divided because of what the dark was doing. And as we move ever forward, upward, all that was lost will be regained. And what is happening now is spiritual information that comes in is countermanded by logical thought, the doubt. I hear it all the time. People say, did I really hear Yeshua speak to me? Did I really hear my beloved partner who crossed over? Did I really hear them speaking to me? Did I hear my angel speaking to me? Did I hear the voice of God speak to me? And it is that doubt. And the more threads that are put down between the right and the left side of the brain, the more certain we become. We start to give up some of our doubts. And we start to believe in what we're hearing and what we are seeing. And it is because the logical side of the brain is making peace with the spiritual side of the brain. It's more integrated. And this is what all of you have before you. It's exciting news. I hear this all the time. People really want to open up. They really want to see on the other side. They really want to hear from the other side. And I have to tell you, it takes perseverance. It just doesn't come without work. At least I don't know of anybody that all of this comes without work. I have heard of a few people where it seems like it comes on all at once, but I think these are individuals who really worked hard at this in previous lifetimes, and so they are remembering. They are remembering what they worked for, and the work that they put forth to attain this is coming back to them now. So I want to say, as a word of encouragement, it's going to happen. You're going to see, you're going to hear, you're going to be more certain of what you are experiencing. Another thing that Lord Metatron says is light can heal, and light can sustain, as it is God's love, Light has no words per se, but rather light is an emotion, which as it comes from God or Source, is only love, as God is only love. And that's telling us what is happening now. More light is coming into the world. More light we are able to contain in our physical bodies, which means if we work with the light, if we meditate with the light, we become closer to God. We become closer because we start to feel that love between our Maker and ourselves. God is only love. And to be able to stand in that love, to feel it, is another step in the path. Now, I found this very fascinating that Lord Metatron talked about. We know this, that this dimension is a dense dimension. The particles of gases and these solids, they're compacted. And light is compacted also. And he says, in this lower dimension, light has less room to work and be effective, and it takes a longer time to obtain a result. And that's why he says that on the higher planes or dimensions, the particles are faster. They're spaced further apart. And so what we work with, what we visualize, what we work on materializing, the result is fast. So we have all of these components to look forward to as we raise our vibrations and we move higher. Now, he gets back to the broader perspective. And he says, I tell you, there's much more to ascension than moving through a dimension or two. Humanity has kept their eyes on the first jump in understanding and awareness because many of the masters who guide the human race felt that it would be discouraging to search beyond the bend, to see experiences or life from a broader perspective. And he is suggesting that one of the reasons that humanity has stayed so long in the reincarnational wheel of expression is because they have not considered the fact that life on Earth is just the beginning of a journey in experiencing all life and life forms. And he brings up a fact that we have heard so many times on the conference calls. For the most part, if you find yourself on Earth, you are probably one of the roving reporters of the cosmos, simply meaning that these roving reporters, their job is to experience life in all parts of the cosmos before they go back to Source. Let me ask you, do you like to travel, my friends? We've got a long journey in front of us. Could be a lot of fun. And so he talks about some of the souls on Earth. They're way showers. And they're here on assignment. Their journey is slightly different from the mass majority on Earth. And we've talked about that on the conference calls, that we have people here who are representatives of the Elohim. And as representatives of the Elohim, they have come from many other planets. We talk about ETs. Well, my goodness, have you considered that perhaps we are all ETs? We're all ETs, you know, in human flesh. We've been other places before we got here, even. So I ask you, do you remember any of that? Do you have any of these wispy memories, either in the dream state or when you meditate? Something that Lord Metatron didn't mention, but I will mention because he's talking about the roving reporters. He's talking about the messengers to Elohim. And I know that there is another group here, and they are the cherubim. The cherubim come for every opportunity where there has been the possibility of a golden age. And so they are here now. It's something to meditate about, because you're a messenger of the Elohim. At the end of this cycle, you have the opportunity to go back to your home planet if you are a cherubim. The opportunity will present itself that you go back to source if you so choose. And the other choice is you can go with Archangel Michael to present yourself in the golden galaxy that he is building. There are many who have some connection with Archangel Michael. They're his light workers who came here when the first strings of expression came here. He brought them here, and the light workers were there to hold the space. It was an exciting time because there was much promise as to what was planned for this planet. Unfortunately, some of the things changed. We'll talk about that another time. But Lord Metatron gives his perspective. He says, I bring these truths forth so you understand that there is much joy before you, but it doesn't come without the work that is necessary to attain spiritual perfection. Contrary to what some think, this is not a free ride. Now I want to talk a little bit about ascension through the eyes of Mother Mary. And she has such a loving expression in her energies when I work with her. She truly is the mother. And it is what her energies feel like when I work with the mother. And she says, I consider you my children, and I am here to support you as a mother supports her children. Therefore, I perceive ascension as the next step, rather than a grander perspective that is held by Lord Metatron. Mind you, I do not disagree with his assessment, but rather, I am here to give you the next step in your progression. And so this is what Mother Mary discusses. And she says, humanity seems to be caught up in what comprises each dimension and how you can tell which dimension you are working with. And she says, I don't see that as germane to the question of advancement. I feel it is best to make certain one has opened up the heart structure to receive love and to give love freely. I feel that if one can do that, then arriving the next higher dimension is assured. Now I can tell you this. There are many people who have closed heart centers. And it is because of what they have been through in these many eons of journeys here on this planet. And it is because the dark has done a real job of making us feel less than, instead of the brilliance of the individual souls that we are. All you've got to do is resist. You can see all the attempts at control and domination. Think like I think, the church has said in the past with their dogma, Because if you don't, you're going to be punished. Sometimes, horribly. And we can go through all the different lines of history, and it has been with us. The pain of being made to feel that you are less than. Of the sadness of feeling separated, alone. They're all fools of the dark. And so, over time, the heart center has been closed. And what comprises the heart center? Well, most of us will say it is the heart chakra, which is true. It is the beating heart. It is the heart-mind. And it is a combination of those three that make up the heart center. And it has a great bearing on how we live, what we attract into our lives, whether it's sadness or pain, or whether it is joy and love. And so what Mother Mary is saying now is the time to open up the heart structure to receive love and to give love freely. So we know that if you are feeling less than, you are feeling shame of some sort, then have to throw off the yoke of those who have dominated you in the past and controlled you in their belief patterns. So how does one start to do that? How does one start to open up the love center? How do we begin to trust again? Take the chance. Be open to love again. Mother Mary says that the progression of ascension is to first open the love center, to give yourself completely to your God, and to be in service to humanity in general, and support the health of your planet Earth. So this is the pattern of awareness to what is around us. We have to be aligned with God. We have to be aligned with love. And as I said, how do we do that? How do we see a flower and think of its beauty? How do we see children laugh and join in with their laughter? We have a call, and your name, caller.
Hi, my name is Renee from California.
Didn't hear you, dear.
I'm sorry, my name is Renee from California.
Romaine?
Renee?
I'm having trouble understanding your name, dear.
I'm sorry, it's Renee, R-E-N-E.
Oh, okay, Renee. That's easy enough name. So, Renee, what can we do for you?
Hi, I'm a first-time caller. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit nervous.
Oh, you know, just think of us as having a cup of coffee over the kitchen table.
Oh, that's nice.
we're just taking a little break here, having a cup of coffee, sharing some thoughts. Nothing to be nervous about. We're just humans.
Oh, thank you. I feel much better.
Nothing to be excited. Nothing to be nervous about.
What's on your mind, Renee? I'm sorry?
I said, what's on your mind, Renee? Welcome.
Oh, thank you. I was referred to your site by one of your listeners. I've heard really great things about you. And I was just wondering if you could do a reading, Akashic reading on me. Tell me, pretty much see if what my, I'm not too sure how to ask this. Like if you see, I don't know, if you could just help me out a little.
Well, usually when people want information, there is something in their mind that they want to explore. Now, you called for a special reason because there had to be something there that is intriguing you about yourself. Could be where you came from, could be what your mission is, could be are you expecting a life partner that you can work with? So does that jog some of your thoughts?
Yes, I want to see what my purpose is. I'm really happy, but I'm just not feeling that where I'm at right now is where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are looking at this right now. My experience has been that in the earlier years, we're kind of just getting used to using our body, kind of learning about what this world is like, and then there's a period where you are educated, and then another period where you might have a family. That's what I consider the karmic period of your life, where you're kind of trying to clear things from the past, trying to understand what needs to be healed. And then you come to a point where it seems like it is the time then when one actually works on the purpose for which they came, what I call mission. And many times when people get to that point in their life, they don't know where to look. It's not something that we're taught in school. I don't even think we're really taught in religious education so much. And so we're out in a world where so much emphasis is placed on positions, possessions, and money, and it's hard to look within sometimes and find out what is there for you spiritually. And does that sound to you like this is the path or the point in your life that you have arrived at?
Yeah, I just feel like there's something else out there right now. I'm ready for just something.
I love it. You're ready.
I'm ready for
That's
something.
Good. You're ready. Well, Renee, what I will do is I send a part of my mind to the center of the cosmos, and I connect with your records that are held by the cherubim. And it is what is in the record is your experiences from the moment that your soul was created until the present time. And so what I do is I give them a question, and they search through your records to get the answer. It's why it's so important to have a question, because the records are so vast. And what I'm going to ask them, it seems to me that what you are questioning is, what is your mission now? Why you came?
Yes. What's
the purpose for you being here? And so that is the fact that you are speaking to me. I am able to carry your vibration, and the records are all encoded by vibration. It's how the cherubim compact the records. It's how they keep the records separate. It's through the vibration of the individual, and that is what they have right now, because I've spoken to you and I've concentrated on them, and through your vibration they have opened up your records. And the first thing that I saw when they opened up your records is I see you as an individual who has served the church in many past lifetimes. I see you, and you might not relate to this right now because this is from the past, but I see you as a priest with a Roman collar. I see you as a monk I see you as the scribe who copying manuscripts during the Middle Ages. So you were an educated person who was able to do that. And I see you before that, going way back in your history, as a teacher. You were a teacher in Atlantis, and you were very much aware of the fall that was about to occur. And so you left before the island broke up, Atlantis, and fell beneath the waves. And you moved on to an outpost of theirs in Peru, and eventually where you actually deposited some of the records. They have not been discovered yet, but you did deposit records from Atlantis in Peru, and then you moved on to Egypt, where you not only deposited another set of records, but you deposited artifacts also. And I'm curious, Renee, did any of this ring a bell to you, or did you feel some sort of comfort, like, yeah, I can own that?
Yes, it did. My major is, I wanted to be a teacher, a high school teacher, and just, that's one of the things. So it's, and then Peru, I had that in my mind, I want to go to vacation. That's my next destination place, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just interesting.
Well, it is. And many times the things that we have done in the past has a draw for us in the present because of our experiences and the fact that we have done it before, we feel comfortable in those circles. What they are showing me is before you came into this lifetime, and it's not just you, we all go through this. We make decisions. Our soul decides what it wishes to accomplish in this incarnation. And so there is an objective. And to fulfill that objective, we are given choices as to where we can incarnate, the location, and the family that that we will be born to. And I see you there looking over some of the choices that you've had because you did have in mind to come this time and teach, but teach from a different perspective. Do you have a sense of connection to the metaphysical? Can't hear you, Renee.
Hello?
Can't hear you, dear. I asked you a question. I said, do you have a sense of connection with the metaphysical? Oh, I think we lost Renee. I have no idea what happened, if we lost Renee or if we're disconnected from CBS. I can't tell, but I will finish up with what I was seeing about Renee in case we're still online and he can hear this. According to the records, Renee came in to teach again, but not teaching in the conventional manner, but teaching from the perspective of metaphysical information. And what the cherubim are suggesting for Renee is that he work more with meditation because it is meditation that opens up the doorway to connect to the higher mind, to that entranceway that we call the higher mind, which is the connection to the soul monad. It is there that Renee can receive information directly from his own soul. so that he understands the next actions to take, so to speak. But the advice is to meditate, to open those gateways. If we're still connected here to you through BBS, our telephone number here is 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, the number there is 888-815-9750. Since we have a little break here, I'd like to mention that we have a new website that is, from my point of view, is just remarkable. It is www.the2012countdown.com, and it is written out as numbers 2012. So it is www.the2012countdown.com. It's a remarkable website in the sense that we're counting down the journey from now until 2012. And there's a lot of information about there, what will happen in 2012. But countdown is quite remarkable because what we're doing, I hear you, caller. Let me just finish this. What we are doing is we are using information from many different writers, also from the spiritual hierarchy, to explain these moments that we are counting down. And your name?
Hello there. My name is Brian.
Oh, hi, Brian.
How are you, dear?
I've been seeing you for a while. It's good hearing you.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. So what's on your mind today, Brian? What brings you here?
You inspired me to call today.
That's what I like to hear. We inspired you. So what inspired you, Brian?
Well, I would like to look into a record here. Maybe the cherubim can give me some information here.
Well, what's so interesting is we've talked all about Ascension, and we've had two callers, and they want to see what's in their records.
Yeah. I had a very powerful awakening dream, and I just liked a little information on it.
Well, we'll see if we get that for you. You understand dreams, don't you?
Yes.
What's your understanding of a dream?
That which is a part of soul memory.
Well, that's true. There's another aspect of it. Dreams pop in. They call it the back door. In other words, if we're not facing an issue through the front door, our consciousness...
It goes in the back door.
our soul inspires us through the back door. I like to really think of that. Because a dream that has been inspired by the soul is very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it in color?
Yes, I did. Very vividly.
Now, how did I know that?
And I've heard you talk before a little bit about these two characters, these beings, and that's why I'm calling you today, because you might have information that you're a lot more expertise on than I am.
Now, did you say two beings?
Yes, there's two beings in general.
Well, who are the two beings?
Isis and Osiris.
Oh, Isis and Osiris. Well, that's a nice combination.
Yes. And I think that I met them multidimensionally in my dream.
Now, you mean this recent dream or in a previous life?
No, I don't know. I think it's in this time, in real time. I believe it's this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I seen them because I was talking, it felt like in real time. And I was consciously aware of what I was saying. You know, like in your dream time, sometimes we're in and out, we don't really know what we're saying, or, you know, it's kind of foggy in a way.
Right, right.
But I was consciously aware of what I was asking. And it was pretty, you may describe it real quick to you?
Yeah, sure, I'm listening.
Okay. There was a little fog. I was down in these tunnels. And like in a temple, and this fog, and out of the mist came this entourage of beings, probably about 8 to 10 beings. And they were very, it seemed like they were very important. They had Egyptian garments on, like an Egyptian priestess.
Of
and the
course.
Other had like a pharaoh, yes, had like a pharaoh hat on, like, you know, the pharaohs wear.
Right.
With the gold around, the gold trimming. And
yes.
their cufflinks and their, what you call around the
cufflinks?
Wrist.
Cufflinks? Did you say cufflinks here?
Yeah, something like, I meant like they're, around their wrist. Like the
a
golden.
Band.
Yeah,
a
yeah,
band.
Gold band.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Then I saw around their neck with the jewel in the middle the priestess
mm-hmm.
was wearing. Some of them had staffs, like they were walking with.
Right.
And these beings looked at me, and I heard this music, like this vibration, the sound. And as I got closer, as they got, like they were walking past me, but I had to throw myself out there so they could stop and see me, or they were going to
mm-hmm.
pass me by. So I got in front of them, I stopped them, and I held up my finger, not like pointing it at them, but just saying, can I please have a minute of your, 1 minute of your time? And like, you know, like they're like, so I was hoping that I would get their attention.
So what did they do?
Well, okay, immediately I was surrounded, like the people that were around this woman, this being, like this priestess, she,
mm-hmm.
her, those people around her made a circle around all of it, like us too, just us two.
Mm-hmm.
And they held hands like they're, like this energy. And I immediately felt in real time this heat go up through my body in spirit, like in a dream time. But I felt
mm-hmm.
it like it was so real. Like if someone touches me right now, that's how real it was.
Mm-hmm.
This energy shot up through my spine, up through my crown. It's kind of like the Kundalini energy.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah. And she said she looked at me.
Do you feel like
right,
they were raising Kundalini?
I think so, like a healing
uh-huh.
or something. The lady looked in my eyes and she said, I know you. I know who you are. She had dark, kind of like darker eyes. Her skin complexion was kind of like, Barack Obama, kind of like a light, you know, African American and then kind of Caucasian,
mm-hmm.
you know. It was beautiful. And, she looked in my eyes and she said, I know you. We've had many lifetimes together. Those were her exact words. And, I was totally blown away, Carolyn. And she said, let's give this one a healing. They laid me
she
down
said,
in the bed.
Let's do this a healing, she said?
Let's give this one, this being like Brian, a healing.
Okay.
And they laid me down and these ran energy through me. Tremendous energy. And I could feel it. It was just really cool. And then I just woke up slowly. I kept my eyes closed, but as I woke up, I could feel just, you know, it start to fade away. And I remembered it before I woke up, you know, like totally opened my eyes. So I was trying to remember as much as possible. But I was just wondering who these beings were.
Well, this is what I was going to ask you, Brian. I really do believe that you know who they were. Let's talk about this a little.
Okay.
What crosses your mind? Who do you think they are?
Well, there's a blue being that was with them that was like, it didn't get too close, this being that was blue, like a bluish tint, greenish tint, kind of like
mm-hmm.
like turquoise. It was like the color of turquoise, this being. And it touched the other person, and it was like that person was giving me healing, but it wasn't like their hands, like they were using their hands to run energy through them, and then it came through me. You know, like the energy like would be overwhelming if they did it directly. So it's like they were running energy through this person to give to me. It was really weird.
Well, how do you feel when I use the term Sirius?
It connects pretty strongly.
What?
It connects really very strongly.
Yeah, because that's who I believe is that the blue beings were representatives from Sirius who came
and
down.
I kept hearing them say either my mind was saying it or they were saying it. They said blue boy. Like the
mm-hmm.
color blue boy.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were called, because when I got close to them, it looked like they saw me, maybe my blue aura or my field, maybe they're saying, oh, there's blue boy, you know?
Well, they, what they could be saying also is,
yeah.
That you came in a blue skin originally, that you were one of the Syrians that came
yeah.
in the early history of
yeah.
on the planet. How does that feel when I say that? You feel connected to that?
In a way, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. What made you think this was Isis and Osiris?
I don't know. It just, like, what happened was, because it was Egyptian, the way that they presented themselves,
yeah.
I was like, wow, I don't really study Egyptian. I really don't know much about it. So I dug some information up on the internet today and yesterday just to find,
uh-huh.
This dream only happened a couple of days ago. And,
yeah,
I was drawn to it.
The Egyptians did have a darker skin, and the headpiece from the, that the pharaohs wore, indicated that they had raised Kundalini.
Yeah,
they had the power to understand these things because they raised Kundalini.
Yeah.
Did you feel perhaps that one of them was Akhenaten?
It could have been. I don't know much about them.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to dig as much information as I could on it, but I didn't know if the cherubim could give me any kind of information.
Well, you know, I really want to. We have about 2 minutes.
Okay, I can call back some other time, yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me see if I can get something real quick for you in those 2 minutes. And then what I want you to do is to call next week, because I really do think this is an important dream for you. And
yeah.
I don't think, and I think it's one of those things, like I said, that's knocking at the back door.
Yeah.
And I'm connecting with them, and they are telling me that this dream was a wake-up call.
Mm.
And they were individuals that you have worked with in the past. Ryan, didn't we talk to you earlier about your connection to people from other planets, and that you were to be bringing forth information from them? Didn't we discuss that with you?
Yeah, a while back, yes.
Yeah, well, have you done any of that?
Just writing down and just really trying to recall more and more, just awakening slowly.
Yeah.
Don't have dreams that kind of powerful, though. I mean, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but see, this dream is connected to that.
Mm.
And we have 1 minute, my dear. Would you call back next week? Because I'd like to explore this with you some more.
Yes. I wanted to say, Carolyn, God bless, and have a wonderful day, my friend.
You too, darling. And you know what they're knocking at your door, sweetheart.
They
they're saying, "Get on with it."
Okay.
and it's connected to what we discussed in the past.
Okay.
But you know,
I'll come
you
back
were,
next week.
Yeah, you were raising Kundalini with them.
Oh, nice! I love it.
But
all right,
it's what the heat. Yeah, it's what the heat was all about.
I love you, dear.
I love you too, darling, but see, you also know that.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you next
time. Okay. Bye-bye, Carolyn.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And so, my friends, check out www.the2012countdown.com. I love you. Talk to you next week.